if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future, where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk.
How you doing, Mosaic? Awesome. Welcome. Welcome. We're so excited that you're here. Hey, our Thailand trip, we're so excited about that. I want to tell you one story that we've been kind of holding off to tell you about that we're so thrilled about. This team has been incredible in how they've just been given themselves to this process and preparing to go. I know a lot of them, when we first talked, part of going on this trip is raising all the funds and support, not only for their trip, but the projects they have planned over there. We raised money through our global fund in December, and part of that will be going with them to do some incredible things. But they also raised more money to see what they could actually do in Thailand with resources. And we know many of you have given to them over that process. And even some of them, when they first started this process, I know I talked to many of the team members, and they're like, I don't know about this. This seems like a big task, not only going overseas, but raising the money and getting everything together that we need for this. And they've been so faithful that we had so much money come in for this trip that it's been unreal. And we called Sheer Love, and we said, what is it that you need? What is it that, if you could dream big, what is it that we could do with you and for you? And they said, well, you know, what we're dreaming about in a few years is actually buying a brand new motorcycle and then buying a cart that would attach to that motorcycle. And it would have all the supplies that we need to go into a red light district and to help the women out both medically and spiritually. Or we could drive into villages and set up camp and basically do medical work, do some training, take care of what's needed there, and also do kind of like some discipleship training with the kids in the villages who are at risk most. And I said, hey, dream big and give us your biggest price tag for that. And they gave it to us, and they said, this is everything. And we, as Mosaic Pomona, are going to be able to cover everything. Everything. Which is so, so amazing. And when I say everything, this is medical, food, and discipleship training supplies for an entire year. Yeah, which is incredible. Along with the motorcycle and the cart and everything that will keep going. And it's our vision that we'd be able to restock that on an annual basis and have ongoing partnership with them. And so this is incredible. And it's so fascinating because they're sent out, a lot of them are sent out from a church that's probably about 20 times the size of us. And yet, here we are, God's doing some incredible things in and through us as a community who are just faithful to the mission that God has in front of us. So thank you for your generosity. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in and through them, and it's going to be incredible. Hey, let's pause this morning before we jump into the scriptures, and let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that your presence is here. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. We thank you that you meet us over and over and over and over again in the most unexpected ways. I ask that you would continue to shock us and surprise us as we step into a deeper faith with you. We thank you that you show up bigger than we expected with our faith that's smaller than we know. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about what it looks like to actually step into this life that God's called us into and the person that he longs for us to become. We talked 2 weeks ago about what it looks like to name and own the dragons that are in our life, the things that we must overcome, that we must step through, that we must press through in order to have the life that God calls us to live. And then we talked last week about how the greatest enemy to the vision in front of us is oftentimes our temptation to fall into comfort. That comfort is oftentimes where we divert much of our attention when we find ourselves stuck in a vision that seems bigger than us. And oftentimes when God does give us a vision, it is much bigger than us. And we talked about how if the vision that you have for your life, you feel like you can accomplish it no problem, it's probably not a God-sized vision. That usually when God gives you a vision, it is, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I need to go throw up for a moment and then get back to you, right? That's oftentimes how God presents his plan in front of us. But what I wanna talk today is how we actually create the environments where we see God move in us and through us. How we actually create the environment and what are the tools that we have to step into this. How do we actually begin to see the victories that we long for and begin living the life that we know that we're called to live? And it does have a lot to do with the environment that we create. How many of you know that you create a certain environment everywhere you go? That every room that you step into, every relationship, every moment that you have the opportunity to create a very specific environment around you. And oftentimes, we're unaware of that environment that we create, but we're certainly aware of the environment that others create, right? Have you ever had, you know those people in your life that you just know every time you get around them, everything they say is going to be negative? That, you know, the Debbie Downers of life. Sorry if your name's Debbie, but they're just those people that when we get around, that every time we just know, I just got to preserve some energy for this person because I know it's going to suck the life out of me in this moment. And there are those people that you almost can't wait to get around because the environment that they create is so uplifting and so dynamic and so positive. And have you ever realized that you create an environment that everywhere we go? But oftentimes, because we're unaware of it, we also don't know how to change it. Have you ever been aware that you're creating an environment of like depression or anxiety or hopelessness in your life and you just don't know how to get out? You know that it's radiating from you. You know that it's coming from the center of you, flowing out of you, and yet we almost feel hopeless and powerless to create anything new around us. Ever been there? Where you just know, you're like, how do I get out of this muck that I've found myself in life? Where does the power to change actually live? And how do we actually start creating that all around us? See, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray in the scriptures, he gave us this model, which many of us know. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you've probably heard this before. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, and what I love about that line right there, on earth as it is in heaven, is what Jesus is saying is that we get to create a spiritual atmosphere around us that when we walk into the room or when we're there, heaven is created everywhere we go. Wouldn't you love that? When people say, when I'm around them, I just experience heaven. Or everywhere they go, heaven just seems to follow them. It's like a smell on them, right? Like when they leave the room, just the scent of heaven's there all around them. And this is what Jesus actually tells us to do. How do we actually translate this spiritual dynamic into a physical reality? How is it that we actually create heaven on earth and create the dynamic spiritual environment in which we live? See, when we talk about spirituality or the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the things that we cannot see. If you've been around here, you know that we like to break down complex ideas. And when we talk about spirituality, we're talking about anything that is unseen that we interact with on a regular basis. Things like feelings and thoughts and emotions and the things that are going through our soul. Physical, obviously, being things that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can feel, that we can use our senses with. So I want to play a little game, and I just want to, I'm going to throw out some words, and what I want you to do is tell me if these things are either physical or they're spiritual. You up for that? So all you need to do is say spiritual, physical. Let's start with an easy one, right? The chair that you're sitting in, physical. You got it, all right? You got the game. All right, your clothes, physical. How about friendship? Spiritual. All right, love? Your cell phone? Hopes? I know some of you are like, my cell phone is spiritual, but your thoughts? joy, your attitude, your eyes, fears, hopes, your hands, words. I don't know, right? That's a strange thing to consider, right? Where do words actually land in the dynamic between physical and the physical? Because it seems like words are our language. Both has a physical nature to them, right? Like right now, sound waves can actually be measured that are going through the air, that are rattling your eardrum, that are creating a connection between the two of us. And so there's a very physical nature to our language. You can actually read words like mosaic right here. But then there's also a very spiritual nature because words and language are always going on in our thoughts, aren't they? We're always using language and words to think through things, to create universes that we live in, to think through possibilities. Our fears come in the form of words in our heads informing us of what we can and can't do. And we express our spirit through language. In fact, the only way that we know who we are is through how we communicate with one another, and that the communication is the relationship. And words become this bridge between the spiritual and the physical. And any relationship that we have is only created through the words that we speak with one another. We grow bitter, and we start speaking poison into our relationships. You know what I'm talking about? And it actually kills the spiritual nature of the relationship. We grow in a space where we're more compassionate and loving, and we begin speaking hope into our world. We connect to Christ in the middle of all of that, and we begin speaking life into those spaces. One of the things that I do on the side is do coaching for people. And oftentimes what I'm trained in is the art of listening. And it's amazing. If you will pause and just listen to what people say, you can hear far more than just what they're saying. Because we are always, always, always communicating what's going on in our spirit. In fact, people are often shocked when we have a conversation around how much is heard and revealed just through simply having a conversation based on what our language is revealing about what's taking place at a spiritual level. And we know this all too well. In fact, neuroscience is actually catching up with what the scriptures have been saying all along. In fact, neuroscience has found that we can actually speak our way into sickness. It's actually found that if you tell yourself, I'm getting a cold, I'm getting a cold, I'm getting a cold, your physical body will actually respond by lowering your immune system so that you become more susceptible to getting a cold. It's actually been proven over and over and over again. In fact, studies have been shown where teachers will actually tell children, you are going to fail a test. And almost all of the children that go through that test who have been told you're going to fail, their grades are exponentially lower when those who are told you're smart, you're going to pass, you got this, no problem. You see this dynamic. And we've experienced this in our own lives. Of course, we've experienced the power of people speaking words into us that cut like a knife, haven't we? Those words that tell us that we're not good enough, or that we'll never amount to anything, or that we're a failure, or that, man, you are so capable, and you have so much potential, and there's so much in you. These words transform a physical reality into or a spiritual reality into a physical reality because they have power in us and through us. We see this in the very beginning of the scriptures. In fact, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you need a copy of the scriptures, just raise your hand. We'd love to give you a Bible, and you can take it home. It'll be yours. But I want to go to the very beginning of time, of all of this that God set into play. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the night day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. See, here is how God actually creates around us. The Spirit was hovering over the waters, waiting in anticipation for something to happen. I mean, I love how the scriptures open up this epic scene where the Spirit of God is just waiting, anticipating, pregnant for something to happen. But you know what I love that shows us? Is that it's not enough simply to sit in God's presence. That the Spirit actually has no power until actually something is spoken into existence. We have this idea that I just need to sit and soak in the Spirit. And through osmosis, somehow something's going to happen in and through my life, right? What this actually says is that the Spirit was actually waiting for something to happen. And what he was waiting for is for God to speak into the world. And that God used his words to translate the spiritual into the physical, that he dreamed up light. And he said, let there be light. And through his words, he spoke it out. See, he didn't actually get a can of light, right? Open it up, form a little ball, put it into the universe. That's not what he creates with. His words are what he creates with. Nothing was there. He speaks, and something spiritual becomes physical. Yeah. Now there's a sun. We can see it there, which was once an idea. It's made possible. And words become the bridge between these two dynamics. See, if we are created in the image of God, then words are the most powerful spiritual tools that we have available to us to create the spiritual environments around us. That words are actually given to us to create the life and the person that we long to become. See, this may sound crazy. This may sound even like slightly off key to what you've been told at times. But we know this all too well. We know that we create a spiritual dynamic with every I love you, don't we? That's right. We know that we create a spiritual dynamic around us with every I'm not good enough. Yep. We know that we create a spiritual environment around us with every I'm not worth it, or this is all there is, or God has forgotten me. We create spiritual environments when we declare, be healed, be blessed, there is life. That every time we speak from our mouth, we actually create an environment around us. But what it all comes down to is whose voice we're listening to and what are we actually speaking out in the process. Now, we're going to go into some Greek with one another. Is that okay? I don't like Greek. I don't like talking about Greek. I know a lot of pastors are like, well, here's the Greek, right? I think Greek should be like underwear. It should be supporting you, but it should not be seen, all right? But we're just gonna pull it all out today, all right? So turn with me to John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and I want to take a look at this word. Because in the scriptures, you actually have two different words for the word, all right? And it's important to know the difference between them. So turn with me to John chapter 1, starting verse 1. It says this: in the beginning was the Word. Everyone say Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Skipping down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this passage right here is talking about the Word. And this word in the Greek is logos. Everyone say that with me, logos. This is what we're talking about here in this passage. It says, in the beginning was the Word, logos, God. In the beginning was God. God is spirit, and his logos wanted to show himself to the world. He wanted to translate himself so that we could actually see God revealed to us in his Word. And it says the logos, this God became flesh in Jesus. Now it's not a spiritual reality out there. Now we can actually point to a person in history and say that is God revealed to us in the person of Jesus. The Word, the Logos, became flesh and he breathed among us. And we know that God came to us because he revealed himself to us. And then not only he revealed himself to us, but he died on a cross and then he rose again so that we might actually be able to connect even at a deeper level with this Word of God. That he revealed who God was this. See, because before this, God was actually hidden from humanity. We didn't really know what he looked like or what his characteristics were other than through how he interacted with humanity. But he was spirit and he wanted to reveal himself. And this is why when you connect to Jesus, you connect to the knowledge and the heart of God. See, here's the thing. Here's a crazy idea. Let me just put this idea in your head. Right now, someone could be planning for you a surprise party. Have you ever just think about that? I don't know. I do every now and then. I hate surprise parties. And I think to myself, someone might be planning one right now, and I am unaware of it, right? There might be all kinds of preparation taking place, and I am completely unaware of this surprise party, right? In the same way that up until when Jesus God transformed himself into the person of Jesus, the Logos became flesh, we were unaware of what was taking place at a spiritual level in its fullest form. And see, what's crazy is if you never showed up to the surprise party, you would never know that there was a party ever happening for you, right? But it's not until the surprise, the big reveal, that you found out everything that's been taking place for the last few months, right? All the preparation and who's been invited and who's come. And in that same way, when Jesus showed up on the earth, it was God going, surprise! I am now revealing to you everything that has taken place that you have not been able to see in the spiritual nature so that you can see it physically right in front of you. So they knew something was happening. I love how John later describes this in 1 John 1:1. This is what he says to us about what he experienced in this person of Jesus. In John 1:1, he says, to that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked and at our hands and have touched, This we proclaim concerning the word, Logos, of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's interesting what John tells us that he has tasted and heard and saw. This is what he says that he has tasted and he's heard and saw. He said, I've tasted and I've heard and I've saw the word. I don't know about you, but I've never tasted a word, right? I've never seen a word. I've heard words, but I've never actually had a physical connection with the word. Unless, of course, that word, Logos, was translated into a person, and then I could actually have an experience like that. See, God revealed himself through Jesus, the Logos. And this is why, by the way, Jesus is the only way to God. It's not that he's being stingy. It's not that he's being discriminatory. It's just that no one else has come to reveal the full Logos word of God. People have come to reveal a lot of information about God, to tell us about who he is and his nature. But no one has actually come and said, I am going to be God translated in flesh, and I will die and I will come back for you so that you can know that you can know that you can know that you have had a physical, tangible encounter with the living God right in front of you. And so Jesus comes. And it's the beautiful thing is that it is not us trying to find God. This is why God hates religion. It is God transforming himself into a physical body of Jesus and saying, I have come for you. So now you can find me. See, aside from Jesus, you actually cannot know God. See, wanting to know God without wanting to know his Logos, Jesus, is like me saying, I want to know my wife, but I really don't want to know her body. I just want her spirit, right? I just want to know her spirit, but I don't ever want to see her. She can stay in another room. We can just talk on the phone. See, if I'm actually interested in getting to know the full person of my wife, it's only available through her physical body. I can't jar up her spirit and then put it in a way and say, look at my wife's spirit. Isn't it so beautiful? The only way I know it is through how she has revealed herself to me. And we know so many promises to us from the Logos, the word of God revealed to us. We know that we are more than conquerors. We know that we are the head and not the tail. We know that we are heirs to the throne of God. We know that we are given power in the name of Jesus. And if we just started speaking this over our lives, if we just started speaking and proclaiming the Logos of God over our lives, saying, I am more than a conqueror, that I am an heir to the kingdom, that I am saved through his name, and that I am brought into heavenly places, that his ways are higher than I could ever know, and that he is for me. Could you imagine if those were the thoughts that were constantly running in the background? How our lives would be transformed forever. But you have to start here. If you don't know the Logos of God, you are completely lost. And here's what I do know, if you're here and if you're breathing in this room, that the Logos, the word, the voice of God is speaking to you. He is longing to reveal himself to you. And if you have not responded yet to that voice, it will keep drawing you in. It will keep pursuing you. It will haunt you in the best of ways. And if you have already responded, believed, confessed, then he is continually revealing himself to you. See, my wife and I, as we connect, here's the thing. We are legally just as married now as we were almost 5 years ago. But what I do know is that we are more married now than we were 5 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? Because more has been revealed and developed over the years. And while we are still legally the same amount of married, we are more married now than we were when we started. And that's what Christ does with us, that he continues to reveal himself, showing who he is. But then the Bible says screwy things like this in John 15, verse 7, that I get a little confused about. He says this in John chapter 15, starting in verse 7, verses that make me very nervous. You ever read the Bible and you're like, right? See, he says this. If you remain, these are Jesus' words. These are the words of the Logos to us, right? He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me nervous. Because I've heard a lot of talk that doesn't actually line up with what this scripture says. See, because we can get in trouble with this verse because we know that it's actually not true. Or maybe not true the way we think it's true. See, because if this was the case, what I would tell all of you to do is walk outside and just say, I own a Mercedes, right? My bank account is full, right? If that was the case, then this is what I'd actually tell you to do. But there is actually a step that goes beyond Logos. We start with Logos, the revealed word of God in the person of Jesus in the scriptures of knowing who he is, God revealed to us. But this general knowledge is where we must start. It allows us to experience God. But there is a next level to connect with beyond Logos, and it goes far deeper than this. See, because there's another actually word for the word word. One is logos, but then there's another word called rhema. Everyone say rhema. Rhema. Rhema is this specific word of God to a specific person at a specific time, that it moves us from a general knowledge of who God is to a very personal, intimate experience with God. And here's what I know. The longer that you are connected to the Logos, the revealed word of God, the more you become familiar with that, you will begin hearing his specific voice speaking to you in very personal ways, informing you of what he is doing, what he is wanting to do in you and through you, the plans that he has for you, and he will continually to reveal this through you. See, I can't tell you how many wow moments I've had in my life as I followed Jesus. And I've had a lot of reasons in my life to give up on Jesus. I can tell you, probably more than I can count. There's a lot of reasons why I should have given up on this a long time ago. But I keep going back to the fact that the wow moments where God has actually spoken things into my life that have changed everything overcome the moments that say, give it all up. Because there have been moments that as you connect to the Logos, the Word of God, that he will speak things through you in his scripture that feel as if he is so close speaking into your ear something personal about your situation. He will bring people into your life that will speak things into your situations that no one else could have known before. He will call you into conversations and there will be a certainty and a confidence about who he is. And this is the language that he is speaking over us and into us and through us. Us to translate things. See, in Romans 10:7, it says, faith comes from hearing the message. How many of you would like to have more faith in your life? See, it says faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word, rhema, of Christ. This specific word that God has for us. See, if you want to live an authentic life of faith, you actually have to hear his rhema in your life. His specific word given to you. See, when you hear his voice, you can now be certain about the things that are going to move. See, you speak what he has spoken to you in the spiritual and things move. And this produces faith because when you see God moving in specific ways around your life, everything changes. See, if you want to walk on water, you first actually have to hear his voice. There's this beautiful moment where Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, is in this boat with all of the other disciples, and they get out on the water, and there's a storm that comes in, and it's literally tearing the boat apart. The disciples are freaked out in this moment. They think they're going to die. And Peter looks out, and it says that he becomes afraid of the wind and the waves. and he doesn't know what to do, and he sees Jesus walking across the water towards them. That's a crazy moment, right? Now, here's the thing. Up until that moment when he sees Jesus walking towards him, all he knew was the logos about Jesus and the miracle that he was capable of doing. See, he knew general knowledge, like Jesus is able to do miracles, and he's able to do the impossible. And I think for most of us, we can get with that program. Even if you're not a follower of him, you're kind of like, yeah, well, hey, there must be something to this because so many people actually step into this relationship with him. So there must be at least something to this God who does the miraculous. All he knew up until that point was the logos. And then Peter gets this crazy idea. He says, I want to walk out on the water too. Have you ever had that moment where you see the potential for what God wants to do in your life and you're just like, get me out of the boat, right? I just want something big to happen. And Peter calls out, he says, Lord, I want to actually step out to you. I desire to come at you. But he had not heard the rhema of God's voice yet. He didn't actually know what was possible in that moment. See, here's where Christians oftentimes get it wrong, is that we step out in faith with the logos of God without actually hearing his voice. And so we do stupid things like, well, God told me to do this without actually hearing his voice. Or this must be what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to take a leap of faith. And God's like, yeah, I never asked you to take that leap. Have fun, right? Now, he oftentimes is good in recovery. But oftentimes we do the whole Jesus take the wheel and wonder why our life crashes, right? But see, all he had up until this point was the logos. All he knew was I can do all things through Christ. He knew that there is this miraculous God who I have been following. And then Peter asked Jesus this. He says, if it is you, tell me to come. He says, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what I'm capable of and what you want from me. And then in Matthew 14:29, Jesus says this one word, come. He just says, come. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. See, up until that word come, all he had was logos. But then when he had come, in that moment, it translated everything because now he had the rhema of Christ over his life and he could step out of the boat into the water with confidence that he would not fall. See, when we hear the rhema of God, it builds confidence inside of us of what's possible. And this is the pattern in the scriptures and in our lives over and over and over. Those who have a burning passion for Jesus have a burning passion within them. They start moving and doing what Jesus would do as they hear him. And they wait for God to give a specific instruction. We hear, we speak, and then we move. And then we see him do the miraculous in us. See, this is why it says to seek first his kingdom, and then listen for his voice. And all these things will be added to you, and you can walk in confidence of what God is going to do in and through you. So you actually don't know what to declare or speak until you have the rhema speaking through you and in you and to you. See, you have to know the heart and the mind of God first. And once that has been revealed, you have confidence to declare and create around you. This is why it is so important to be in relationship with Christ. Not just to know about him. Not just to know what he possibly can do or what he did do. But to know what he is doing in your life. And the potential that he has over you. So maybe then you can ask whatever you wish. At least once you've heard what he's speaking over you. When he begins speaking over you, yes, step out and have that conversation. It's going to go well. You have the faith to step out. When he says, yes, get your passport and go to Thailand because this is what I have for you, you can step out and say, it is well. That when he says, look, you need to go step out and take the risk that you've been wanting to take, now is the time, go, move, you have the confidence to do whatever he has said to you. See, and this is why when you have the rhema in you, everything changes. But this rhema usually only comes in the context of community, with one another. You notice that Peter was actually with his disciples when Jesus spoke into him. That this rhema comes in the context of community with one another. Because here's the thing, people have come to me all the times and said that God has told them to do crazy things. That I'm like, yeah, probably should check on that one, right? See, if you just hear God's voice and jump, you're probably going to fall. But if you hear God's voice in the context of people around you, in his body, he begins speaking to you and in you and through you, and you hear it over and over and over again. Things start to happen. Marla alluded to it in her talk this morning, but while we were gone on maternity leave, our community group was meeting right over here at La Bamba Vintage Clothing, and we get our group back next week. And in the middle of our ministry time, they just start praying for people who are sick, like with a new level of faith that I have not seen. And I was like, what happened? And they said, oh, last week, God told us to heal such and such's back. And we prayed for them, and his back was healed. I said, really? And then, yeah, and the week before that, there was another guy who came in, and God told us we need to pray for his back because he's going to heal him. And we prayed for his back, and he was healed. And these weren't just like, oh, my back hurts a little bit. This is like, I cannot sit down, my back hurts, right? See, this is what happens. This is the dynamic that happens in community when you begin hearing the specific words of God, is that he moves over you so that you can ask whatever you wish in the context of his voice. And people are healed, delivered, restored, and faith is built. And you actually begin living the life that you were called to live. Luke 1:37 says this, "For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. And this word is rhema. No rhema, no specific word that he has given to us in the context of community with one another to heal, to deliver, to transform will ever fail. And when we hear his voice and we begin speaking it out, declaring it, not just thinking it, but we actually speak it out over one another, it shifts the atmosphere that we live in. It shifts the spiritual environment that is all around us. See, you may feel stuck because you have been listening to the wrong voices for far too long. And you have been speaking out the voice of other gods and other spirits other than what you were ever designed to speak out. See, for some of you, you have been speaking out, it's not going to turn out, over and over and over again, and you wonder why things don't turn out. For some of you, you have been speaking out, I am afraid, I am afraid, I am afraid, and you wonder why fear creeps in. For some of you, you have just sat with that mental illness or that disability or that place in life that just feels like you're stuck, and you have been speaking that over and over and over again, and God is saying, I have a new rhema for you, I have a new voice for you, I have a new word for you, if you're willing to receive it, to have the impossible done in your life. And what Christ is saying to us is, my invincible voice will change everything if you're willing to hear and speak. See, it shouldn't be a shock that even salvation comes through this process. See, salvation is not necessarily like a mystical thing, although it is quite powerful. That if you want to experience salvation from the darkness that haunts humanity, from the brokenness of your soul, from those areas that just feel like hopelessness, disconnection, like you know something's missing, this is the formula that God actually gives us. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and then believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. See, it shouldn't be a shock that there is this bridge between spirit and the physical world that comes with our voice, and salvation is what travels across it. That when we confess with our mouth the physical, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart the spiritual, that God raised him from the dead, salvation enters into the human story. See, this, you can clap for that if you want to, because that's a pretty powerful word if you want to listen to that. See, this is the reality, is that when we use our words to transform the atmosphere around us after we have heard his voice, it breaks every chain of darkness and hopelessness and sin. See, and the reality is that this can only be done in the context of community, that we actually need one another to hear his voice, to not only have Jesus revealed to us, but to have his specific words spoken over us, to begin speaking it out. See, what would happen this week if every single one of us committed to being bound with one another, hearing his voice, and then we began speaking out his things over our lives? We began speaking his truth. We began speaking his love. We began speaking his plans over our life. We began speaking his thoughts rather than our own thoughts. It would change everything. Not only would it transform our environment, but it would transform every environment that you and your community stepped into. Would you bow your head and close your eyes real fast? Today, I want to just invite you here and now to shift your atmosphere. This morning, if you're here and you have not yet connected to the voice of Jesus, maybe you're like, man, I get it. I have all these voices in my head that just feel like they're overwhelming. Maybe you feel like there's this thing that's still left. Today, he is saying, I want to connect to relationship with you. If that's you this morning, for the first time, you want to connect to Jesus, and it's just simply stepping into relationship with him. If that's you, I just want you to look up at me. You can raise your hand. Just look up and just say, yeah, that's me this morning. I'm willing to step into relationship with Jesus. Awesome. I see you. Yeah, who else? Who else this morning just says, I want to step into that relationship with Jesus? Awesome. I want you just to pray this prayer with me right where you're at. I just want you to pray, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I confess that you are Lord. I know that you died for me so that my sins would be covered. And I make you Lord of my life. I thank you. Amen. Now, keep your eyes closed. And for some of you in this room, you may have just feel very disconnected from the voice of God. Maybe you feel like there's other voices that have been speaking louder in your life, and you just don't know how to shut them up. And today, what Jesus is saying to you is that he wants to speak louder. Like we've sang this morning, that in the name of Jesus, everything else must tremble, that the darkness has to flee, it will be overcome as we use our words, speaking out the things that he has today. If today that's you, you're like, I'm ready for it to hear the voice of God again. I'm ready to hear his voice over all the other voices of fear, of depression, anxiety, hopelessness. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand up. No one else looking around. Yeah, who else? Who else to say, I'm ready for a new voice? Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to know this before I pray for you, that you will begin hearing his voice when you step into community. If you raised your hand today, I want you to go right back to next step after this, and I want you to find a community group to connect with. But I want to pray over you. Dear Jesus, right now, I ask that you would break every stronghold that would keep anyone in this room from hearing your specific voice to them. From knowing who you are revealed, your logos, to knowing your rhema, your specific word over their life. And I pray right now that any other voice that is louder, any voice of fear, any voice of hopelessness, any voice of despair, any voice that would share that they are less than who you've called them to be, that they would be silenced in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, would you speak louder? Would you speak louder? Would you come right now and speak your blessing, your peace? We declare hope over this place. We declare freedom over lives. We declare purpose, and we declare identity over the lives of everyone in this room. That the atmosphere that we would step into would be one of the fullness of who you've called us into be. We thank you that when we confess that you are Lord and believe in our hearts that we will be saved, and we ask that you would save us over and over and over again from the other voices that would speak otherwise. We thank you. We thank you for your voice, for your word. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation, or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks, and have a great week.